Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 28th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the Northeast braces for a powerful winter storm.
Apple shares rally after sales top estimates.
Shares of Robinhood plunge on weak earnings led by drops in crypto trading.
And Toyota is back on top, reclaiming the mantle of the world's top-selling car maker.
Thousands will gather this morning at St. Patrick's for the funeral of a rookie police officer gunned down along with his partner. I'm John Tucker. Details straight ahead.
I'm John Stashtower in sports. The Rangers, Islanders, and Devils all lost. Rafael Nadal has reached the finals of the Australian Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little change this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures and Dow futures are little change. NASDAQ futures up 62. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.83%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets shortly. First, a powerful storm is bearing down on the Northeast with the promise of snow over the weekend. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn joins us now with the details. What's it looking like, Rob?
The storm system that's going to be developing off the North Carolina coast later today and developing explosively tomorrow off the coast of New England is going to produce quite a bit of snow, especially for portions of New England. It looks like for the district in Baltimore, the snow, which starts by late today and ends tonight, only puts down about 1 to 3 inches. We'll be dealing with snow developing in the tri-state area during the evening hours, and looks like the city's probably going to pick up about 6 to 10 inches, with areas of Long Island seeing over a foot. New England gets the jackpot. The snow doesn't arrive until well after midnight tonight, but it comes down hard at times tomorrow, and it's going to be very windy. Parts of New England will see well in excess of a foot.
All right, Rob, so when do you think the snow is going to end?
The storm will wind down in the district probably after midnight tonight. 1 to 3 inches looks likely. For the city, it's going to wind down late in the afternoon, early evening on Saturday. And for Boston, we're talking about the snow ending not until the early morning hours of Sunday. And again, there's probably over a foot in Boston. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you. And of course, we'll be checking back in with you to get the latest all morning. Now to the markets, where shares of Apple are front and center. They're up more than 4% in early trading after sales that beat estimates. We get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
It's a sign Apple was able to work through a supply chain crunch fueled by the pandemic and chip shortages. The surprisingly strong results suggest that fears of supply upheaval were overblown. Apple CEO Tim Cook had warned late last year that shortages could cost the company more than $6 billion in sales during the all-important holiday period, but the tech giant navigated the crisis and benefited from a flood of new products, including the iPhone 13, Apple Watch Series 7, and updated Macs. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. On the flip side of earnings this morning, look at shares of Robinhood. They're down more than 13% in the pre-market after posting disappointing results pretty much across the board. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. A year after Robinhood found itself at the center of a meme stock frenzy, it's now facing challenges that could be more difficult to overcome, with fourth quarter revenue and losses that were worse than expected. And the hits came from all directions. A steeper net loss, lower monthly active users, and options and cryptocurrency trading slipped below third quarter levels. That's not all. Robinhood says operating expenses are expected to rise 15 to 20% this year. Robinhood was already down close to 70% since its July IPO, and this morning shares are down another 13% in the pre-market. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. The recent tech sell-off has taken a bite out of Mark Zuckerberg's fortune, and now Warren Buffett has surpassed the Facebook CEO on Bloomberg's Billionaires Index. We get more on that from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
It's a reminder of the enduring power of Buffett's approach to value investing. It also reflects a precipitous decline in tech stocks since the beginning of the year. Since then, Zuckerberg, co-founder of Meta Platforms, has lost $15 billion. And the richest person in the world, Elon Musk, has seen his net worth fall by $54 billion. The relative resilience has been in value, the bedrock of Buffett's investment philosophy. His Berkshire Hathaway has outperformed tech so far this year, declining just 4.2%. Tech is down 15%. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Doug. And you can blame some of that tech weakness on the Fed as investors now brace for a possible 5 rate hikes this year. This morning, there is an important economic reading that the central bank watches closely, the Employment Cost Index. And today's reading could be another hot one. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Everyone likes a fatter paycheck, and the third quarter employment cost index posted a record increase. At the same time, we all pay as businesses lift prices to recover labor costs. Bloomberg Economics says today's number could be a keeper as inflation rages. It's more reliable than average hourly earnings, as it's less affected by specific industry trends. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Back to the markets now. Oil trading near its highest level in 7 years. In fact, crude is headed for a sixth straight weekly gain. Traders say robust demand plus heightened geopolitical risks are causing the gains. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33% or 31 cents at $86.92 a barrel. Brent is up 0.4% at $89.73.
Certainly a far cry from the height of the pandemic, Karen, when oil touched $33 a barrel. Speaking of the pandemic, looks like Hong Kong is making a move to ease COVID restrictions, shortening quarantine requirements for incoming travelers. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the details.
The Hong Kong government is reducing the quarantine from 21 days to 14. That's still about the toughest in the world. And Hong Kong is maintaining a ban on people arriving from 8 countries, including the U.S., the U.K., and Australia. The shorter quarantine period will begin February 5th. After 14 days in a hotel room, people will have to self-monitor for 7 days. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Staying in Asia right now, Toyota finished out 2021 as the world's top-selling automaker again. The Japanese company kept production on track despite a year of supply chain turmoil. Toyota and its subsidiaries sold 10.5 million vehicles, a 10% increase. Runner-up Volkswagen sold just shy of 9 million. S&P futures, again, little change this morning. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Snow showers already in Central Park. 30 degrees, bracing for even more from this nor'easter headed our way. Details coming up. First, John Tucker with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Happy Friday, John.
And Nathan, New York City police officers will give a final salute today to Jason Rivera, a rookie cop gunned down with his partner a week ago. A funeral mass planned at St. Patrick's Cathedral for the officer, who at age 22 was recently married and barely into his second year of service. Cardinal Timothy Dolan will preside over the service. The city's top leaders will attend. Rivera and a partner officer, Wilbert Mora, were fatally wounded January 21st by a gunman who ambushed them in a hallway as they responded to a family dispute. Mora's funeral is being held next week. In a call to Ukraine's leader, President Biden has reaffirmed total support. The story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
In a White House readout, Biden underscored the commitment to Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Biden said he's exploring other macroeconomic support and a decisive response if Russia troops invade. But as communications continue to go back and forth, State Department Deputy Secretary Wendy Sherman says Russia continues to move at the border.
We certainly see every indication that he is going to use military force.
Sherman says sometime between now and mid-February. Russia says, meanwhile, it will need time to look at U.S. proposals. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Biden says he'll name his choice to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer by the end of February. Announcing his retirement at the White House yesterday, Breyer reflected on his decades on the bench.
When you sit there and see all those people in front of you, people that are so different in what they think, and yet they've decided to help solve their major differences under law.
President Biden intends to nominate a black woman to replace Breyer. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin was spotted dining out again at a New York City restaurant 2 days after testing positive for the coronavirus. The visit to the upscale Elio's drew attention from photo-snapping bystanders. Palin had also dined at the same restaurant on Saturday, despite a city rule requiring patrons dining indoors at restaurants to be vaccinated. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Rafael Nadal, only one of tennis's big three who's playing the Australian Open. Roger Federer injured. Novak Djokovic deported. Nadal into the finals. Beat Matteo Berrettini in a four-set semifinal. The other semi going on now. Daniil Medvedev won the first set with Stefano Tsitsipas. Only once has Nadal won the Aussie Open, and that was 13 years ago. If he wins Sunday, he surpasses Federer and Djokovic. Currently, all three have won 20 Grand Slams. Rangers in Columbus up 2-0 5 minutes in, but then down 4-2. Blue Jackets won 5-3. Artemi Panarin was in on all three Ranger goals. Islanders lost to the Kings 3-2, so L.A. went 2-1, touring in the New York area. The Devils lost in Tampa 3-2. They dropped 6-7. At the Garden tonight, it's the Rangers and the Minnesota Wild, and Henrik Lundqvist will have his jersey number 30 retired. In advance, he went on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
It's amazing. It's a surreal feeling, you know, to have, obviously, the moment itself is going to be incredible, but yeah. Also an opportunity to bring all the people to Madison Square Garden, people that meant so much to me throughout my journey, friends, family, yeah. And most importantly, all the fans that supported me throughout my career. It's going to be amazing.
Lundqvist, 15 years, the Rangers starting goalie. Two NFL teams hired new coaches. Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. He's been the offensive coordinator in Green Bay. Chicago going with Indianapolis assistant Matt Eberflus. The Giants said to be deciding between Brian Daboll and Brian Flores. A decision could come today or tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures right now down 3 points. Dow futures down 79. NASDAQ futures are higher, up 51 points, buoyed by Apple earnings. Apple shares up 4% in the pre-market after sales and revenue that clobbered analyst estimates. We'll dig into the numbers next with Gene Munster, co-founder of Loop Ventures. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, you know what's coming. Lots of snow, 6 to 10 inches possible in the city, more than a foot on Long Island tonight into tomorrow night with the nor'easter on the way. Currently, snow and 30 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. NASDAQ futures moving higher this morning after strong earnings from Apple, while European shares are falling, extending a drop after Germany's economy shrank more than expected. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, they're lower, down about 8 points. The Dow futures are down 109, while NASDAQ futures are higher, up 42. The DAX in Germany is down 1.7%. The 10-year Treasury down 10 30 seconds, yield 1.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 51 cents at $87.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $4 at $17.91 an ounce. The euro 1.1135 against the dollar. British pound 1.3376. And the yen at 115.63. Bitcoin this morning moving higher at $36,550. And Apple shares this morning up 4%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around. Oh, here is John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Russia's foreign minister says the American proposal to defuse tensions with Ukraine contains rational elements. President Biden says he'll name his choice to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer by the end of February. And the Biden administration says it's recommended changes to China's requirements for COVID-19 quarantine and testing among American diplomats. Sports, Rangers and Islanders, Devils all lose. Basketball, the Warriors beat the Timberwolves. Tennis, Rafael Nadal advances to the finals of the Australian Open. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John. Thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak with tech earnings in focus this morning. Obviously, the big story is Apple, and the shares are surging once again this morning, up nearly 4% after the iPhone maker came out with revenue and sales that blew past Wall Street estimates, even in a supply chain crunch. Let's get more on these results. Now, Gene Munster is with us, co-founder of Loop Ventures. Gene, good morning. 11% sales jump in the quarter. Does that surprise you at all?
At first it did, but as I kind of step back, I shouldn't have been surprised. They make the world's greatest consumer products, arguably. I think they will show it. And this is what happens when you do that. There is an asterisk next to that 11% growth. If not for the supply chain headwind, they would have grown at 18% off of tough comps. And so I've seen a lot of Apple quarters. I've studied this company for 20-plus years, and there's so many good quarters. They just kind of, at some level, just blur together. And there's a recency bias here that I'm trying to guard against. But ultimately, I think this was such a memorable quarter because they did it with so many headwinds against them and had some positive outlooks for March. Quite memorable.
Does this give you a reason to look at the tech sector more broadly and think maybe the sell-off that we'd seen in recent days might have been overdone?
There is a moment, a fleeting moment, where I thought just this relief that the Icon did well, and not just well, it did phenomenal in this, and I felt like that was a relief. I do think that that's going to be a relief today, tomorrow, but I think if you kind of look at the broader arc of where this is going, and I'm drifting outside of my area of expertise into monetary policy here, but I still think there's some work that the Fed needs to do. I think that tech stocks in particular are more sensitive to interest rates. We're talking about some inflation numbers next month, and ultimately I think that could continue to pressure some of these tech companies. But this, I think that kind of misses the broader point. And to your question, is that we're going to start to put a bottom in some of these tech names probably over the next 3 months. And I think at the point where the Fed starts raising rates, I suspect that we're going to start to see, Apple be properly rewarded. They won't get full credit for this quarter. If they did, the stock would be up 12% right now. They're not going to get it. Eventually, I think they will be credited for it.
How do you see Apple navigating this quarter and going forward into 2022? You got to think that supply chains are going to continue to be a headwind to a pretty great extent going forward, at least in the midterm.
For sure. And, they talked about the impact is lessening. I think that buries the headline, which it's still a measurable impact. In the March quarter, probably about 4% of their revenue, they're going to miss out because of the supply chain. What is in the case of Apple, what is surprising is that even in holiday quarter, they still are able to capture that revenue that gets delayed in the subsequent quarter. And so when you see these delays and the impact to Apple, they get preferential treatment with their suppliers, and customers are willing to wait. In the case of iPads right now, the lead times in six countries are 40-plus days, usually their same business day at this point. So it is Apple has the luxury of being first in line, and also customers will love their products. I think as far as the broader supply chain, it's still going to be messy. And, most people are thinking this goes through 2022 for this year. Who knows? Maybe it's one, maybe it's 2 years, and I think it's still going to be kind of nagging at these earnings calls over the next few quarters.
Looking at the tech sector more broadly, Gene, why are tech stocks affected so much by higher interest rates, the tightening environment that we're expecting?
There's two classes. The first class is kind of the big cap. They have been affected, but it's been relatively modest. They're, it's kind of down, similar amount that the NASDAQ is down, 15, 20%, something like that. And then there's the other class kind of these earlier, less profitable companies. And the answer to your question is the reason why is that every percentage increase in the interest rates has an impact on how investors value these companies. That's the classic discounted cash flow. And usually a 1% increase in interest rates has somewhere between a 10 and 20% negative impact on earnings. And so when you have companies, that's the simple reason why is that tech companies are more sensitive because they've got more variability in their earnings. Therefore, they're more sensitive to interest rate increases.
Well, at the moment, we are seeing a bit of a tech bounce this morning on the back of those very positive Apple earnings. Gene Munster, as always, thanks for the insights. Gene Munster is co-founder of Loop Ventures. And looking at the market broadly, a mixed picture, but tech is on the rise with S&P futures right now down almost 4 points. Dow futures are down 74. NASDAQ futures higher by 57 points. And again, Apple shares in the pre-market are up 4%. The 10-year treasury right now down 9/32, the yield 1.83%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.21%. Just ahead, getting ready for a major winter storm in the Northeast. We'll check your top stories next. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. That nor'easter is going to bring us 6 to 10 inches of snow in the city, more than a foot possible on Long Island, 2 to 4 in New Jersey. Right now, snow, 30 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A powerful snowstorm is heading for the northeast. Stay tuned for the latest with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn in just a moment. But first, NASDAQ futures are higher thanks to Apple. The stock is up 4% in early trading after sales that beat estimates. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Apple recorded record revenue of $124 billion in the fiscal first quarter. Record sales across segments like the iPhone, wearables, Mac, and services. There was disruption in the supply chain, particularly with semiconductors. That largely impacted the iPad, where sales missed estimates. But things look bright for Apple as they go into a big year in 2022. Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg News, San Francisco.
All right, Ed, thanks. On the flip side, shares of Robinhood are down 14% this morning following disappointing earnings. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita?
Nathan, a year after Robinhood found itself at the center of a meme stock frenzy, it's now facing challenges that could be even more difficult to overcome with fourth quarter revenue and losses that were worse than expected. And the hits came from all directions, a steeper net loss, lower monthly active users, and options in cryptocurrency trading slipped below third quarter levels. Robinhood was already down close to 70% since its July IPO, and that's before the latest earnings miss. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Economic data also in focus this morning at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. The Labor Department issues its Employment Cost Index. That's the broadest measure of labor costs and one that the Fed watches closely.
In corporate news, Karen, Toyota is back on top, finishing out 2021 as the world's top-selling automaker again. Toyota beat out Volkswagen by roughly 1.5 million cars.
And back to the markets now. Oil is trading near its highest level in 7 years. In fact, crude is headed for a sixth straight weekly gain. Traders say robust demand plus heightened geopolitical risks are causing the gains. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 27 cents at $86.89 a barrel. Brent is up 0.4% at $89.68. And again, NASDAQ futures are also higher this morning, up 56 points. S&P futures are lower, down 4.5, and Dow futures are down 91. 10-year Treasury down 10/32, yield 1.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.21%. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.20 at $17.90.80 an ounce. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street. Snow showers, 30 degrees in Central Park. On the leading edge of a nor'easter, John Tucker's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. John.
Good morning, Nathan. A morning funeral mass planned at St. Patrick's Cathedral for a rookie police officer gunned down with his partner a week ago. Details in this report from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Jason Rivera was 22. He was recently married and barely into his second year of service on the force. Cardinal Timothy Dolan will preside over the service. Many of the city's top leaders will attend. Rivera and a partner, Officer Wilbert Mora, were fatally wounded January 21st by a gunman who ambushed them in a hallway as they responded to a family dispute. Mora's funeral is being held next week. Thousands of uniformed officers, as well as ordinary citizens, filed into the cathedral yesterday for Rivera's wake. Friends and fellow officers remembered Rivera and Mora as caring and dedicated. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Radio.
Now that major winter storm expected to reach most of the East Coast today. Storm watches and warnings are posted. And Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn tracking the storm for us this morning, Rob.
John, while the models haven't come completely together, but they are starting now to get closer in their solutions, so we're going to bump up the totals, particularly from the city east out over Long Island. There'll be parts of northwestern New Jersey that pick up about 4 inches from the storm. It looks like as you cross into the city, 6 to 10 inches is likely. Once you get out across Long Island, we're talking about over a foot in many areas. In fact, there'll be some places in eastern Long Island that are over 18 inches from the storm. It all winds down late tomorrow afternoon, and there will be some blowing and drifting, especially across the island in coastal Connecticut. John?
Rob Carolyn. President Biden has thanked Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer for his decades on the bench.
He has patiently sought common ground and built consensus, seeking to bring the court together. I think he's a model public servant in a time of great division in this country.
The retiring Breyer will serve out the remainder of the court's term. President Biden plans to nominate a black woman to replace him. China and Russia will sign an agreement to build a research station on the moon. The two countries say they aim to complete basic infrastructure construction for the lunar station by 2035. The announcements, the latest signs of closer cooperation between the two countries. Russian President Vladimir Putin expected to be the most notable world leader to visit Beijing for the opening of the Winter Olympics next week. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. It appears the next coach of the Giants will have the first name Brian. Either Buffalo offensive coordinator Brian Daboll or Brooklyn native Brian Flores, who was just fired as the head coach in Miami. Flores had his in-person interview yesterday. Two teams made hires. Denver going with Nathaniel Hackett, who's been the offensive coordinator in Green Bay. Indianapolis assistant Matt Eberflus, now the head coach in Chicago. Conference championship games on Sunday. The Chiefs went 50 years without going to the Super Bowl. Now they have a chance for three in a row. They host the surprising Bengals, who were 2-14 just 2 years ago. And then it's the 49ers and Rams in L.A. That's where Super Bowl 56 will be played. The Niners lost Super Bowl 54, and the Rams lost Super Bowl 53. The three New York area hockey teams all lost last night. Rangers in Columbus 5-3. Artemi Panarin had a goal, two assists in defeat. Rangers come home tonight to play Minnesota on Henrik Lundqvist night. His number 30 will be retired in 15 years as the Rangers goalie. Lundqvist won 520 games. The Islanders lost the Kings 3-2. The Devils lost 3-2 at Tampa. The Knicks played tonight in Milwaukee. That game does not start until 10 o'clock. Rafael Nadal, now 35 years old, hasn't played all that much lately, but he's into the finals of the Australian Open. He beat Matteo Berrettini in four sets. The other semifinal match is going on now. Daniil Medvedev and Stefano Tsitsipas tied one set all. Medvedev just came back from two sets down to win his quarterfinal match. Justin Thomas, John Rahm, part of a three-way tie for the lead, midway through the Farmers Insurance Golf at Torrey Pines in San Diego. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Work on LaGuardia's Terminal B and brand new American Airlines wing is finished. It's part of the Port Authority's $8 billion effort to transform LaGuardia into a 21st century facility, which also includes a plan to replace Terminals C and D. When private managers take over New York City's public housing developments, they promise low-income residents that they'll fix up their apartments and their buildings, but a new study shows that the switch can leave tenants more vulnerable to building neglect and evictions, often with public funds footing much of the bill. Related Companies has hired former New York City Police Commissioner Dermot Shea to manage its properties in Manhattan. Shea is joining Related as president of commercial property management. He will oversee operations at the company's buildings in New York, including Hudson Yards and the Deutsche Bank Center at Columbus Circle. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on WFLA Tampa Bay, we're talking about an Amazon delivery company settling federal accusations of religious discrimination.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Boeing has begun the planning process for an all-new airplane.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that orange juice futures are headed for the longest streak in more than 30 years as frost threatens groves in Florida.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting that the government probe into alleged rule-breaking parties in Boris Johnson's office during the pandemic could be stripped of key details at the request of the Met Police.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Toyota finished out 2021 as the world's top-selling automaker once again.
And it's now 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. This week, the Federal Reserve announced that it will soon be appropriate to start raising interest rates. That wasn't a surprise. The Fed had been foreshadowing it for a while, yet markets greeted the news nervously. How come? The problem is that the Fed's new policy is still a long way from normal for an economy running at or above capacity. Investors know that if higher inflation persists, getting it under control will take more than a few quarter-point interest rate hikes. But a more forceful throttling of monetary policy threatens serious collateral damage to the economy. For now, the central bank's approach looks right. But the Fed should keep watching the data with an open mind and be ready to change course if circumstances demand. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. Bloomberg 1130 weather. It's snowing already. We'll have 6 to 10 inches by the time this is done tomorrow. More than a foot on Long Island. Sunday, mix of sun and clouds, upper 20s for highs. Snow and 30 degrees right now.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. NASDAQ futures on the rise after strong Apple earnings, while stocks are mixed at the end of a volatile week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. NASDAQ futures are up 38 points this morning. S&P futures lower, down 7, and Dow futures down 95. The DAX in Germany gaining, or no, lower, sorry. DAX in Germany lower, down 2% right now. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.20%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 32 cents at $86.93 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $5.40 at $17.89.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1136 against the dollar. British pound 1.3388. And the yen's at 115.58. And checking Bitcoin this morning at $36,650. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Hey, good morning, Karen. Gusty winter storm does remain on track to batter the East Coast. New York City could get as much as 10 inches of snow. Russia's foreign minister says the American proposal to defuse tensions with Ukraine contain rational elements. And President Biden says he'll fulfill his promise to nominate the first black woman on the U.S. Supreme Court after applauding retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. In sports, Rafael Nadal advances to the finals of the Australian Open. The Rangers, Islanders, and Devils all lose. Basketball, the Warriors beat the Timberwolves. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. It's almost 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it's a tale of two earnings this morning. On the one hand, you have Apple surging on sales and revenue that crushed estimates. On the other, a very different story from another Silicon Valley name at the center of the meme stock frenzy. So let's talk Apple and Robinhood now with Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent Alex Webb with us this morning. So Alex, Apple, just to start off, just knocked it out of the park despite supply chains.
Yeah, there are two things really that are happening here. On the one hand, Apple kind of quite successfully managed expectations that in it does this historically pretty well. It had told the investor community that it was going to be a tough quarter because of supply chain problems. analysts had built in about $10 billion in reduced revenue expectations. In reality, the impact was closer to $6 billion. And so they, needless to say, had a $4 billion beat. At the same time, they were able to, for instance, take components that had been intended for iPad, direct them towards the iPhone. They do have a well-oiled supply chain operation, so it was something that they were clearly able to get that rolling with gusto, and we saw the big beat as a consequence.
So how do you see Apple managing those expectations in the current quarter and quarters to come? We heard from CEO Tim Cook yesterday saying they do expect bottlenecks in the supply chain to continue to ease. Does that smooth things out even further for Apple?
Yeah, the thing is with Apple is we often talk about their growing supply services business, which in and of itself is clearly a great way of generating predictable recurring revenue. But it is also, and this is often understated, a fantastic way of tying people more keenly to their devices. So the iPhone 13, which was not a substantial upgrade to the predecessor in many ways, it still managed to post record numbers. And that's a lot of it is because people need to upgrade their phone after perhaps 3 years. Well, they don't need to, but they certainly want to. And yeah, that is, to a great extent, a function of the way they're tied to it so keenly through things like music and iCloud and apps and plenty more besides.
Speaking of apps, let's turn to Robinhood getting crushed this morning, down almost 15% now in the pre-market. I think a lot of analysts were expecting this was going to be a tough quarter for the fintech, but this ship is really listing.
Yeah, it in many ways, as you say, was perhaps quite predictable because, you know, not just the interest rate environment, we've seen inflation, people don't have as much capital, retail investors don't have as much capital as they might have done 12 months ago. That means they can't say, well, do you know what, I'm going to chuck a few hundred or maybe even a few thousand dollars into equities that I can do quite easily with this app. Now they've got to think a little bit more carefully about how they're spending, and we're seeing the kind of drop through onto the numbers at Robinhood.
What does it say about the business model that Robinhood had? I mean, you know, a little more than a year ago, it was firing on all cylinders. But now there's a lot of question about the payment for order flow and some of the other headwinds that it's been facing. How does Vlad Tenev get things back on track?
You know, something like Robinhood has always seemed, like, as with actually so many of these kind of lockdown stocks, you think about Peloton or Zoom or any of those other ones, they often seem like features or divisions, units, or they should be, of broader businesses because they are quite exposed if there's any problem in their core business, whereas if they have some sort of natural head because they're another part, you know, other parts of the ecosystem, then they perhaps have a little bit more robustness. And so we are seeing now competitors come into the space, often from established banks, financial services organizations. So it's, you know, clearly diversification is a useful thing to look towards, but that requires capital. And when your share price is dipping, your cost of capital increases, and cost of capital more broadly is increasing, that becomes a challenge.
All right. Bloomberg Quick Takes, Alex Webb with us this morning, talking about the latest earnings out of Silicon Valley this morning. And again, Robinhood shares now down almost 15% in the pre-market. But Apple, after the big earnings beat, Karen, up 3.75% in early trading.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Unions filed a brief in federal appeals court saying healthcare workers are exposed to grave danger after the Biden administration's cancellation of its OSHA COVID-19 standard. The IRS encourages taxpayers to check their records to see how much child tax credit they received before filing their taxes. Some people may have received letters with incorrect information. Tampa Bay Delivery Service, which provides service to Amazon, will pay $50,000 to settle a religious discrimination lawsuit over the firing of a Christian employee who refused to work Sundays.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. It's official. Justice Stephen Breyer is leaving the Supreme Court after 28 years. President Biden says he plans to nominate the first black woman to the court and would announce his chosen nominee by the end of February. He says no decisions have been made thus far. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to constitutional law expert Stephen Vladeck at the University of Texas Law School.
You're going to have Breyer, who's been on the court for almost 30 years, being replaced by someone new and a black woman. How does that change the dynamic on the court and among the liberals on the court? Three women now.
The most significant thing it does is it really, I think, elevates Justice Sotomayor that much further. I mean, she now becomes not just perhaps the rhetorical leader of the liberal wing, but the senior member of the liberal wing. So when it comes to parceling out dissent, for example, in the high-profile cases, you know, that will fall to her as opposed to Justice Breyer. But I also think, too, that the other way it's going to change the dynamics is, you know, I think it is going to reflect yet a further generational change. One has to think that President Biden is going to appoint someone who is at the oldest in their early 50s. And so if that person serves for as long as Justice Breyer serves, I mean, the court is going to change again while they're on the court. So I think the internal dynamics will be harder for us to see. I think they will be most heavily felt among the three Democratic appointees and how they allocate their responsibility. Is there a chance, June, that the justice who replaces Justice Breyer might find her own mechanisms, her own ways of building consensus with some of her colleagues on the other side? Is a relationship between the new justice and Justice Gorsuch, for example, on criminal cases a possibility? We'll have to see. But again, I mean, I think what really makes this whole process feel so different from the last couple times we've been here is that these differences in the short term are going to just pale in comparison to the short term differences we saw between Kennedy and Kavanaugh and Ginsburg and Barrett.
Of the list of replacements, does one stand out?
I don't know about one, June. I think there are two. From where I'm sitting, Ketanji Brown Jackson and Leandra Kruger are such compelling candidates in different ways. And low though I am to bet on any particular candidates in this race, I would be very surprised if it wasn't one of those two. They're both fantastically qualified. They're both very smart. They're both highly regarded. June, they had different backgrounds. They had different experiences. Ketanji Brown Jackson was a district judge before she was an appellate judge. She has trial experience. Leandra Kruger, before she was a California Supreme Court justice, was a government lawyer. She worked in the executive branch for the Office of Legal Counsel. So I think there are tantalizing opportunities with both of them. And I think it's going to be a good problem for President Biden to have in trying to pick between them and the other names that are being bandied about.
And that's Stephen Vladeck of the University of Texas Law School speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And NASDAQ futures moving higher, up 30 points this morning. S&P futures lower, down 10, and Dow futures down 106. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines, all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.